desire your prayers that the thought that the Lord has given, that it would be shared in the way that he would have it, fulfill the purpose he would have it to fulfill. I don't really know necessarily what the title. I have a title for the message, but the title was just based on natural life. And so I can only relate it to things that we know, because I don't know what the phrase is going to be, and you'll understand what I'm getting at here. The title is "You've Arrived" or "Welcome Home," and we can relate to that maybe in a natural sense, but I don't know. I don't know what words are going to be spoken to us when we reach our heavenly home, and when we cross those, when we go through the pearly gates, and we're welcomed there. I'm not sure what the words are going to be spoken to us, but that's the goal this morning. But so we can relate to that just in a natural sense, in terms of what we can know as "You've Arrived." So I guess the title is "You've Arrived," and 'cause that's the goal. Now, what do you think about, again, relating this in a natural sense, when you hear those words, what does that mean to you? You've arrived. You got where you were going, your home, or welcome home. You know, it means that you reached the destination, right? Wherever you are endeavoring to go, you've made it there, and you've made it there safely. You've got there. Maybe many of us use the GPS devices, right? And that's what it'll tell you, right? When you get to your destination, it'll say, "You've arrived." Or it'll say, "Welcome home," whatever it is. So it'll let you know that you were on a journey. You were traveling from one place to another, and you've arrived there safely. Many of us, we travel, probably drove here, all of us, no doubt, drove here this morning. And you're thankful when you pulled into the parking lot, you made it safely. Amen. Right? It's a blessing, it's a privilege to be able to reach your destination safely. Did you have any obstacles along the way? Were there some things maybe that could have prevented you from getting to your destination? Absolutely. You know, and maybe many of us, no doubt, have flown as well and gone. You've been up in the air, and once you land down and tap down and pull into that the gate, you're thankful. You're grateful because you made it. You've arrived. You recognize that, you know, there are some things that maybe that you could have, that could have hindered you along the way. There's some obstacles that could have came along. There are some different things that could have transpired that would have prevented you from getting to your destination. Even heard the sister this morning talk about on her way to work earlier this week and had a little incident, but thank the Lord she got there. She made it to her destination. It wasn't any worse than what it was. So we're thankful that we can have that, and we recognize that. And now when we consider that spiritually, we're all on a journey, aren't we? We're on our journey to endeavor to get to our heavenly home. Yes. And again, I don't know what the words are going to be. You know, there's several. Some say, "Well done," and we'll read a little bit about some of them. But we're on a journey to endeavor to get to our heavenly home. But you know what? We haven't arrived yet. Amen. We haven't arrived yet. Again, this is the goal. The goal is you've arrived. So keep that in our hearts and our minds this morning. But I want us to know this morning, we haven't arrived yet. We're not there yet. So what that lets us know is that we, while we still have life and breath in our lungs, we're going to face some obstacles, some things that may try to prevent us to get where we're going along the way. And what it reminds us is that we can't relax. We can't put our guard down because we haven't arrived yet. You know, as we get that feeling when we take trips and go here and there, when you make it to your destination, then is the time where you can I made it. Thank the Lord. And we're endeavoring to get there, and one day we'll be able to do that. But we realize until we get there, we're fighting against an enemy. The enemy is out to get each and every one of us. So we always have to know, why is it so important for us to not relax, to not put our guard down? Because I want you to know something. The enemy of our souls is always at his post of duty. He's always looking for an opportunity to do whatever he can to try to discourage you and hinder you on your journey. There's a very familiar text of scripture that we all know about. Maybe read it many times. I'm going to remind us of that this morning. It's in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and it's the 8th verse. 1 Peter 5 and 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion,
walketh about,
seeking whom he may devour. So as we go through this life, as we endeavor to please God and live for him, as we're on our way to our heavenly home, to be able to hear you arrived, along the way, we have an adversary. And the scripture reminds us here that as we go along, we have to be vigilant, we have to be sober, because our adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So I want us to look at that verse in the Amplified. It's just something about the Amplified, it brings these words out just a little bit more. It says, be balanced, be well balanced. Be temperate, be sober of mind, be vigilant, and it says be cautious at all times. I have to always be aware, I have to always be on guard, because the enemy is out to get me. For the enemy of yours, the devil, he roams like a lion roaring. Roams like a roaring lion, all right? So, and it says, in fierce hunger. A roaring lion in fierce hunger. I don't think any one of us would want to kind of come across a lion that's in fierce hunger. But recognize that's the enemy of our souls after us. He has a fierce hunger for anyone that's trying to live for God. So that's why we can't let our guard down. He has a fierce hunger and he's seeking someone. He's always on the lookout to seek someone to seize upon and devour. Those don't sound like good things. He's out to get us. He's out to destroy us. I mean, we know what these words mean. Seize means to take possession of, to possess completely or overwhelmingly. That's what his goal and his aim is for us. He's trying to devour us, to eat up greedily or ravishly. He's trying to destroy us. So when we recognize and know that that's his aim and that's his purpose, as we journey along our pathway of life, why would we entertain anything that he has to offer? We know his motives. We know his purpose. We know his aim. So whenever he brings different thoughts or whatever it is, don't entertain it. Don't give it anything. Just rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Recognize his purpose, his aim is he's seeking to seize and destroy each and every one of us. So we have a responsibility now. I have a duty and a responsibility, not only for my own soul, but for the souls of others, to cry loud and spare not. In other words, to make it known, to let it be known that as we're on our journey to our heavenly home, we're all in a daily fight against the enemy of our souls, and he's out to get us. And he's doing everything that he can. So what this lets us know is we're not ignorant. We're making it, proclaiming it, and let it be known. You're on a journey, but the devil is there to fight you every step of the way. So we can know anything that he can try to bring to hinder us, he's going to try it. But so we can know, it says in 2 Corinthians, the second chapter and the 11th verse, made reference to this. We're not ignorant of his devices.
Lest Satan should get an advantage of us.
Lest Satan should get an advantage of us.
For we are not ignorant of his devices.
We are not ignorant of his devices. You know what that word, the ignorant and devices in the Greek, it means we're not without knowledge or knowing of his schemes. So it's clear and it's plain to each and every one of us what his goal and aim is for us. He's trying to destroy us in any way possible. So we have to always be on guard. We have to always be aware. There's some other verses that relate to what his goal and aim is for each soul. In another place it says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what it makes reference to. And then in another place it says, when Jesus was talking to one of his disciples, he said, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. So when we recognize, it's clear and it's plain, we're on a journey, but the enemy's out to get us. So we have to always be aware. We have to always be on guard. We can't lose focus for a moment on our journey. Because the enemy is, he's waiting. He's waiting for that perfect opportunity for me to say, oh, I can just, let me just relax for a moment. Let me just take my eyes off of Jesus just for a moment. Remember Peter when he was walking on the water? As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was all right, wasn't he? And what happened when he took his eyes off Jesus? He starts sinking. See, when we take our eyes off, I'm on a journey to my heavenly home. And when I take my eyes off that goal and aim, then that's an opportunity that the enemy has to try to get a hold to me. I can't lose focus, not even for a moment. You know, we recognize the value of our eternal soul and how important it is to be able to, I want to get there. So we realize how valuable it is to us. That's why we have to treat it so. We have to treat it with the utmost care, because it has so much value to me and to you. You know, we can relate maybe in a natural sense. Have you ever lost something that was valuable to you? Maybe had something that you had that just seemingly kind of slipped out of your fingers, where you had it and you didn't treat it, you didn't value it like it should, like you should have, and now it's gone. And then you say, well, I wish I could have, would have. I remember when I was in college, I was gifted some shoes. And there were some basketball shoes that was given to me. And they were some special shoes. At the time, I'm a college student, and these were some very expensive shoes. They were designer shoes for, at the time, probably one of the most popular basketball stars in the world at that time. And I was gifted those shoes, and I had a pair, and they were mine, and I was thankful and grateful for them. But you know what I did one time? We had a time where we were going to go to our gym at the school and play, and there was somebody that was said, I'll play, but I don't have any shoes. So you know what I did? I was like, I got some shoes you can borrow. And those shoes, expensive shoes that were gifted to me, I let him borrow them. And that was the last time I saw. Something that it was a gift. Again, something valuable. At the time, probably the most expensive shoes that someone had ever given to me. But I let somebody borrow them, and just like that, 1 minute they was in my hands, and 1 minute they were gone. So we know how that feels in a natural sense. And we can feel maybe the pain, and I guess maybe it still bothers me. I'm still talking about it. Oh, but how much more valuable is our eternal soul? We're on a journey. We're all on a journey. Do we realize how valuable it is? We can't have one moment. We can't take any time off. We have to always be on guard. We have to always be aware that getting to our heavenly home is the most valuable possession that we could ever obtain to. There's nothing can compare to reaching our heavenly home, to get a crown of life, to spend eternity with God. There's nothing in this life that can compare to it. Amen. To have the privilege to spend an eternity with Almighty God. You know what? We have to keep that in our minds. Yeah. I'm not there yet, so I can't let my guard down. You know, when we look through God's word, we can look at examples of different ones that walked with God, had a relationship with God, did things for God, for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. But then, I mean, some, we're going to read about some literally walked with him, but something happened. And that relationship with God was broken. What happened? If that happened then, could it not happen now? What happened as we read about some of these individuals? What happened? What happened in their mind? Did they think, I've arrived? We haven't arrived yet. Somehow, maybe just lost focus just for a moment. Loss of focus just for a moment, and then started that drift away. And then never got back. You know, when you think about it, you ever think about Judas? Judas was one of the 12 apostles. What happened? How could that happen? He walked with God, with Jesus. He walked with Jesus while he was here on this earth. Yes. Did mighty works in the name of Jesus. Yes. And then he betrayed him. And lost and walked away from him. He literally was with Jesus and left him. If that happened then, what about us? Lord, help me. I'm not there yet. I want to hear I've arrived, but I'm not there yet. So I got to keep. Help me, Lord. The enemy's out to get me. He's out to get all of us. Just to bring this to the forefront of our mind, let's go to Matthew. I know I made reference to this, but I want the scripture to bear it out this morning. The 10th chapter of Matthew. And just ponder as we read these verses. What happened? How could this happen? Let's start at verse 1, read down through verse 8.
And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples.
This is Jesus. Now when he had called unto him his 12 disciples.
He gave them power against unclean spirits.
He gave them power against unclean spirits.
To cast them out and to heal all manner of
sickness
and all manner
of disease. To cast them out to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of. This is the power that Jesus gave to his apostles while he was here. And as he sent them out to further the kingdom of God, he gave them power. He gave them power against unclean spirits. So this is Judas was, we're going to read it here. He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and disease. In verse 2 now.
Now the names of the 12 apostles.
The names of the 12 apostles are these.
The first, Simon.
Who is called Peter.
And Andrew his brother.
James, the son of Zebedee.
And John, his brother. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew the publican. James, the son of Alphaeus. And Lebanus.
Whose surname was Thaddeus.
Simon the Canaanite. And Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These twelve Jesus sent forth. And commanded them, saying,
Go not into the way of the Gentiles.
Into any city of the Samaritans.
Enter ye not.
But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
And as you go, preach, saying,
The kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Heal the sick.
Cleanse the leper.
Raise the dead.
Cast out devils.
Freely ye have received, freely give. Judas, he was one of the 12. He was named here as one of the, and we realize this is the power that Jesus gave to his apostles while they were here on this earth. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely give, freely receive, and freely give. So he was used of God. He was a vessel. It didn't say he didn't do. God gave power for them to do all these things. And yet, somehow, some way, what happened? What happened to him? What did it start with? It started with something. So when we read about this, it's such a warning to each and every one of us. Am I exempt? No, I'm not exempt. We're none of us. He literally held Jesus' hand and did all those things. But something happened. See why it's so critical for us? One day we're on a journey to our heavenly home, and then something happens. Things gonna happen, but we can't lose focus. We have to recognize this is a trick and it's a trap of the enemy. And no matter what, I want to hear I've arrived. I want to get to my destination safely. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. We're strangers and pilgrims in this world. I got a heavenly home I'm trying to get to, and I don't want nothing here to hinder me. And I recognize until I get there, the devil's going to be seeking an opportunity. He's going to send whatever he can to try to discourage and to try to hinder me. There's a verse of song. And we sing it from time to time, but we recognize how true it is for each and every one of us. It's number 302. And there's all of the verses, but this morning I'd like to call out two of the verses in particular. And it gives us our instruction as we're on our journey to our heavenly home. That second verse says, Oh, watch. Watch. So I can't at any time not be watching, because the enemy is lurking somewhere. Remember, we talked about he's trying to seize and destroy. So I got to watch. I'm going to have to fight, and I'm going to have to pray. All three of them. It's going to take all of them, isn't it? What if I watch, but if I don't fight? Then there I go. You know, what if I watch and fight, but then I don't pray? I'm just going to take all of them. What was it for Judas? I don't know what happened. Watch, fight, and pray. The battle, ne'er give o'er. Renew it, the writer says, boldly every day, and help divine employ. That's my reliance on God. Lord, if am I watching, and if am I fighting, and if I'm praying, I feel like I'm getting a little low. Lord, would you pour in some more? Help divine employ. Call on the Lord. He's a very present help in time of need. Our sister talked about that this morning, feeling some anxiety. Oh, but she called on God, and he came to her rescue. Watch and fight and pray. The battle ne'er give up. I'm on a journey to reach my heavenly home. Ne'er think the victory won. I can't ever think in my mind, I'm there, because I'm not there yet. As long as life is coming out of life and breath is coming out of this body, I can't think the victory's won. Oh, I've got it now. Don't matter. Been saved for however many years. Don't matter. I got to fight. Ne'er think the victory won, nor once at ease sit down. Oh, you know when my work's going to be done? When, again, I don't know what the words are going to be, but just for this morning, you've arrived. That's when I can put my guard down. Thy hardest work will not be done till I got the crown. Fight on, soul, fight on. I think about another example of one. Think about Solomon. I want to highlight just a few things. We know the story about him. But what, again, what happened? Let's go to 1 Kings. I'm just going to read, for the sake of time, just some select verses here. He made a wise choice, didn't he? He made a wise choice. He was the kingdom was given to him, and he recognized that I don't have what I need in order to rule this kingdom. So he asked something of God. And it says in 1 Kings, the third chapter, and the fifth verse, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. This 1 Kings 3:5. God appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." He asked, can you imagine this conversation going on? Here's Solomon, a young king, and God visits him at night and says, "What are you? Can you imagine? What can I give you?" And then Solomon said, "Thou hast shewed unto my servant David, my father, thy great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth." Take note here. So what happened to Solomon? Because his father walked in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart within thee, that thou hast kept for him this great kindness. Thou given him a son to give. Has given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. So he asked, "What do you want?" And he asked for wisdom. He said, O Lord, my God, thou hast made my servant king. Instead of David, my father, I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. I'm in the midst of people that thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered. He said in the 9th verse, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? And you know, we know the story. God gave him wisdom, and he gave him so much more. And there was, you can read about it if you continue there in 1 Kings in the 4th chapter. He was known throughout the world. And what do we know him as? When you think about Solomon, you think about the wisest man that ever lived. The wisest. He had more wisdom than anyone. We know the stories. And it was proclaimed. He was known. There was nobody wiser than him. Wisdom that God gave him. He had an example of a father that lived before him. What happened? What happened? You can read this story for the sake of time. Maybe I won't read it this morning. But there's more. In addition to all kind of things, marrying different ones, a different kind of spirit, that a lustful spirit that he had, and then began the sanction and idol worship. What happened? Did he think, I've arrived? There's nobody smarter than me. Oh, soul, be on thy guard. 10,000 foes arise, and a host of sin are pressing hard to draw thee from the sky. There's a host of the devil and all his imps fighting against you, to try to keep you from getting to your heavenly home. We must, on a daily basis, maintain our relationship until we have arrived. Until we can hear, well done. You know, and it's our daily decisions and choices that we'll make, that's going to determine our end. You know, there's some that was faithful. Thank the Lord. We have the examples of those that were faithful. But you know, the examples of those that faltered along the way, they're to be a reminder for us. You know, but we can be like Paul. Our testimony can be like Paul. In 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and the 7th and the 8th verse, we can be like Paul. We can express these same words that he did when he got to the end of his journey. 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8.
I have fought a good fight.
He said, I fought a good fight.
I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up
for me a crown of righteousness,
which the Lord,
the righteous judge,
shall give me at that day, and not to me only,
but unto all them also that love His appearing. Amen. You know, once we get there, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I finished my course. I've got a crown that I'm going to gain. It's just like, you know, while we're driving, while we're trying to get to our destination, we have to be vigilant, don't we? We're driving around in these roads. We got to be vigilant, don't we? We have to pay attention, don't we? You know, we have to pay not just attention, we have to pay close attention to what's going on around us. Right? We got to look to the right. We got to look to the left. We got to look ahead, look behind. It's almost like we almost have to have our head on a swivel, don't we? Till we get there. You know, we can't take our seatbelt off until we get, you've arrived. Then we can, oh, I made it. Thank the Lord. Maybe sometimes we take a moment after we've arrived, instead of jumping out the car, maybe we just like, oh, yeah, I made it. I've arrived. But until then, I got to be on guard. Yes, got to be aware. Amen. Until I hear these words. Come. In Matthew, the 25th chapter and the 34th verse, he gave what he's going to say to those that have endeavored to live for him. Again, I don't know what the words are going to be. Maybe it'll just be like something in this verse, Matthew 25 and 34.
Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand.
Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand.
Come.
Come.
Ye blessed of my father.
Inherit the kingdom prepared for you.
From the foundation of the world.
Maybe that'll be the words. Come. Come. Well done. You made it. You know, when we've reached our heavenly home, then we can relax. One of the songs I believe we sung this morning talking about, then maybe it's a different song, but it talks about laying our armor down. Maybe it's a different song, and we didn't sing it, but it talks about that's when, once I get there, then I'll lay my armor down. Then I can relax. Then I can put my feet up, so to speak. But until then, I need the Lord to help me along the way. I have to be in tune with His Spirit. What? Again, we look back at some of these other examples. What happened? I don't know. But you know what? Help me, Lord. I need to be in tune with Your Spirit, with Your dealings and Your workings with me. And when You talk to my heart, help me, Lord, to respond to You. Help me to allow You to lead and guide and direct me day by day. Help me, Lord. I got to keep my eyes on You because I'm on a journey. I don't want to endeavor by God's grace and strength to make it there. Lord, look down in pity and compassion on me, Lord. Help me get there. And then when those gates, when I go through the gates and they close behind me, then I've arrived. I've arrived. I made it. God is faithful to us, isn't He? So my encouragement to the saints this morning, keep on keeping on. Recognize we can't let our guard down until we get there. Doesn't matter how long we've been on the journey, we haven't reached the finish line yet. So keep on guard, keep aware, and know that the enemy is out there. He would love it even. He probably takes even greater pleasure, if I could say it that way this morning, in somebody that lived their life for God almost up to the end and then lost out. Watch and fight and pray, saints. The battle ne'er give o'er. Renew it boldly every day and help divine employ. You know, we can have encounters with Jesus and try to help us. Well, maybe there's some that says, I want to get there, but I got some obstacles along the way. There was one that had a direct encounter with Jesus, had a face-to-face conversation with him. He said, what must I do that I could have eternal life? Not only that, it says, let's go there. You know the story, the rich young ruler. He had a face-to-face and said, there was some interactions and things that went on between them. And the point here is that know that God is faithful to us. Let's go to Mark 10, verse 17.
And when he was gone forth into the way.
So Jesus was somewhere. It says he went forth in the way.
There came one running.
Then somebody came running.
And knelt to him.
Kneeled to him.
And asked him.
And asked.
Good master.
Good master.
What shall I do that I might inherit
eternal life? What shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? This was one that no doubt heard about Jesus and heard about what was available to him. And it sounds like, you know what? I want that too. I want to inherit eternal life. Tell me then, what do I need to do?
And Jesus said unto him.
Jesus said unto him.
Why callest thou me good?
Why callest thou me good?
There is none good.
There is none good but one.
That is God.
God.
Thou knowest the commandments.
Thou knowest the commandments.
Do not commit adultery.
Do not commit adultery.
Do not kill.
Do not kill.
Do not steal.
Do not steal.
Do not bear false witness.
Do not bear false witness.
Defraud not.
Defraud not.
Honor thy father.
Honor thy father and mother.
And he answered and said unto him.
And he answered and said unto him.
Master.
Master.
All these have I observed.
All these I have observed from my youth. So this one, he came running and Jesus proclaimed to him, these are the things. You want to inherit eternal life? Here's the pathway. You need to do these things. These are the things that you need to do. And you'll inherit eternal life. And no doubt it seemed like this young man, he got kind of excited. Oh, I can maybe share this before, but I can imagine in my mind as Jesus is explaining to him, you need to do this, this, and this. In his mind, maybe there was some check boxes. And he was like, check, yes, check, yes, check, yes, yes, I'm in good shape now. I'm on my way. I can get eternal life now. But wait.
Then Jesus beholding him,
he loved him.
And said unto him.
He said unto him.
One thing thou lackest.
One thing thou lackest.
Go thy way.
Go thy way.
Sell whatsoever thou hast.
Sell whatsoever thou hast.
And give to the poor.
Give to the poor.
And thou shalt have treasure in heaven.
Thou shalt have treasure in heaven.
And come.
Come.
Take up the cross.
Take up the cross.
And follow me.
And follow me.
And he was sad at that saying.
He was sad at that saying.
And went away grieved.
Went away grieved.
For he had great possession.
For he had great possession. Amen. You know, the point of this story is not, I believe, is not the fact that he had great possession. The fact was that he was lacking in one thing. One thing. So I want to get on the journey. But there's something hindering me. This, the one thing that was hindering him was his possessions that God gave him anyway, that God could have taken away from him or given. So maybe there's some that say, I want to go to my heavenly home, but there's this thing that's in the way. There's something holding me back. You don't want to go away like this young man. You don't want to go away grieved. Don't you know God could have took care of that?
Yes.
So somehow in this young man's mind, he didn't make a start because this one thing was a hindrance to him. You got to start. Maybe there's something in your mind that's hindering you. I want to start my journey, but this thing is in the way. God can take care of that. He'll take care of that thing. So my encouragement to those that haven't started, it's time to get started. You know, even in this man's mind, in this young man's mind, maybe it just the circumstances that they were just, oh, if the circumstances were just a little bit different in terms of starting on a journey for heaven, the circumstances will never be perfect. They'll never be perfect. But you know what's perfect? Now. The perfect time is now. The perfect time is when God says it's time. That's the only thing that's going to be perfect is time now. Again, my encouragement to us this morning. Saints, if you're on your journey to your heavenly home, keep on going. And recognize that you're going to be in a fight until you draw your last breath. The enemy is out to get you in any way possible. So just be aware of it and be on guard and watch and fight and pray every day. And you can relax once you get there. And if you haven't started your journey, the perfect time to start is now.
Amen.
I appreciate your time and your attention this morning. And by God's grace and strength, we can all hear. You've arrived. Thank the Lord.